as I shared, my experience with the Holy Spirit is that we cannot contain it. Amen. Even when it does what we do not expect or shows up at timing we do not expect. My experience of the Holy Spirit have varied through the years, from that still, small, quiet voice to the sound of wind rushing past my ears and warming my heart with a breath too fast for me to take it in. From seeing the most beautiful clouds in a sky to the discomfort of that gnawing feeling in your belly that propels you through a state of uncomfortability to speak a truth. One of my favorite ways of engaging the Holy Spirit is just to talk to God through different forms of prayer. In fact, I think most of us feel our most alive in that space of allowing the Holy Spirit to actually guide us. When we worship and sing songs, we feel the Spirit, amen? When we allow ourselves to be moved to tears or moved to dance, we feel a certain aliveness spirit within us grow. When that directs us to what God is up to, we are feeling the Holy Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit, however, is not something we Presbyterians are particularly known for doing. It can be, because of that, really hard to articulate and embrace the full beauty that is Pentecost. It was an inaugural part of what makes us, as followers of Jesus, followers of the way, well, it makes us God's people, able to hear and be led by God. People led by the will of God more than their own wills. We have the ability to be the church only by the power of the Holy Spirit, only by God's Holy Spirit, God's Ruach Wind, God's Pneuma breath. That Ruach, that Spirit word in the Hebrew Testament, well, it shows up in our scripture that we read earlier. But the Spirit of God, well, we name it at Pentecost, and oftentimes that's the story we read first, and we will get to that beautiful story. But I thought it was important to name that this story, this resting of the Spirit on God's people, has happened for a long, 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 long time. The Spirit of God has been resting on people since the Old Testament, but in a much different manner. As it said in our Numbers passage, at the time, the Spirit landed and did not stay with the people, would show up and then go. There are times when the assembly of believers only had a select few from within the body who were able to sense and experience what it meant to have the Spirit of God land on them. They were appointed and anointed to speak and share what it is God had spoken to the community. In our text, it started with Moses, and some of the Spirit that was taken off of Moses is taken and placed upon the 70 elders in the tent. This happened, but as the scripture said, only for a little while. The Holy Spirit did not stick around despite human expectations of time. It does not follow our timetable, amen? God speaks to us, calls us to move, and it is beyond our own expectation. Those of spiritual maturity learn to not wrestle so much with this truth, although it is never quite easy, amen? Those of spiritual maturity learn early that God's plans and our plans are no match for each other. You do better just following God's plan. Otherwise, you'll end up with a whole bunch of whale spit on you. And in the Numbers text, that's exactly what we see. We see God's plan being outside of the expectation of humanity, even a very faithful humanity. See, it was the custom that the elders received visions and shared them. This is named even in that part of the Pentecost story from Acts, in which it says your elders will dream dreams and have visions, and your young will have visions. In Joel's time, for which that is a quotation from, it was an expectation that those of wisdom may indeed have visions and share them to prophesy in the tent away from the wider camp. They would share their vision of what God had offered them for the sake of the community. They were in a closed off sacred space. But what was it like for those who were not in the tent? Have you ever felt frustration because something was happening that affected you that you weren't invited to? Amen? Or maybe I'm alone in that. Well, thanks be to God that in this place, like with our congregational meeting that we're having later on, that is not how we try to operate. Amen? We try to be open so that the congregation can journey and there isn't some sequestered group off to the side making decisions that everybody else has to deal with. We've learned from passages like this that there's a gift in communal discernment. If you believe that the Spirit of God is greater than our frustrations and confusions, I'd love for you to say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Be careful, though. I should have included that first. For indeed, when the Holy Spirit comes, it is oftentimes outside of our expectations or even our desires. The scripture said that two men who remained in the camp, one named Eldad and Medad, two that were not of the 70 elders, well, the Spirit rested on them as well. And they were among those registered, but who had not gone to the tent. And so they prophesied right in that space. See, God will and can use us in extraordinary ways beyond what any group who thinks that know how God is moving can know. That's what happened with Medad and Eldad. They weren't in the place where the thing was supposed to be happening, yet they had this power offered to them. God's people, I just want to remind you that wherever you find yourself, you have been empowered to make a difference in that space. Amen? The scripture continues, a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Now, I tried to read that passage without a whiny voice. Like, I had to catch myself. But the inside of me just keeps thinking, Eldad and Medad are prophesying and they're not supposed to be. Clearly, even faithful, loving people can be shocked when God does something, when God speaks and praises God's Spirit upon God's people in ways that go outside of explanation or expectation. I know that I too must have grace for Eldad and Medad because I have been Eldad and Medad. Amen? We've all been short-sighted on how God has worked or is working in the world. People may complain when the Spirit of God is given unexpectedly. People have power and insights that they just should not have. I've heard that frequently. How dare you be so wise at your age? Listen, I don't know. People have been offended by it. I don't know. But it has taught me to know that God is able to show up exactly how God wants to in anybody's life. Amen? Amen? My guess is that we all have been in that place where we have had people miss what we are capable of because we came in a packaging or we're in the wrong area outside of the camp or the tent and God still spoke. God still spoke. And we were empowered, even with the gnawing in our guts, to speak truth to power with love. Even if it wasn't understood at the time. It can be damaging when we hear that there's no way that we could do what God is calling us to do because we're too old or too young or too big or too small or not qualified enough. You don't have the certification. You're not smart enough. But I have a word from God for you. God does not call the equipped. God equips those who are called. Eldad and Medad, God equipped them because they were called. God doesn't wait until the credentials show up to use you the way God is calling you to be used. You each have been sent to this world for these days. There are places you will go that nobody else will be to do what it is you are called to do. God placed, called, opened, made available people across time and space in order to pour into you. You are the culmination of miracles upon miracles upon miracles upon miracles. But here's the other side of that. You can't expect that everybody is going to get that on the front end. Amen? Joshua, this Old Testament hero, yes, the same Joshua who fit the bottle of Jericho. Joshua started off as Moses' assistant. He led the Israelite army valiantly. One of the most beloved history people in our Old Testament. One of the people. In that moment, who missed what God was up to. The scripture goes on to say Joshua, Nun's son, and Moses' assistant since his youth responded, "My master Moses, stop them!" Eek. In Moses' response, we see the ways in which elders, leaders, and faithful people can be limiting not just to what their fellow believers are up to, but actually how God is moving in the world. Amen? When I think of some of the damage that has been had in the name of the church, the oppression that has been perpetuated, the isolation, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, come. Moses' leader of the tribe who remained in the spirit because indeed, the scripture says God had taken a part of the spirit that was on him and placed it on the other, which means that there was still God's spirit resting deeply on Moses, which I cannot separate from Moses' wisdom in how to respond to Joshua's panic of, "My master Moses, stop him." I hear Moses breathing in that ruach wind, looking lovingly at Joshua, saying, "Are you jealous for my sake? If only all of the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would place God's spirit on all of them." See, that's the generosity of spirit and heart that comes with the wisdom that is birthed out of God's spirit versus control. Amen? There are those who would have been insecure. wait a minute, that's my thing. Being spirit-filled? I'm the one that went up that mountain. I'm the one that came back with the law. I'm Moses. If anybody could have that kind of swag, it would have been Moses. But covered, offered God's spirit. There was a generosity that flowed that said, oh, how I long for the day in which God's spirit will be placed upon all of God's people. That day, we celebrate. See, Moses, the first Pentecost, you can go to Acts and look at the closer text. So Pentecost, it existed. It was already a Jewish holiday. It was a celebration of the 50th day in which the law had actually come down with Moses. And this was when they celebrated it. So after the resurrection, 50 days after that Passover, in which Jesus was betrayed by his friends, left alone after he had fed them, 50 days after that Passover, we have Jesus' spirit, the advocate, the paraclete, offered in ways that blows their minds again. Just as shocked as Joshua was, they could have been that shock, or we can choose to be like Moses and celebrate that when God's spirit is moving, we can be generous of spirit and we can have joy that God is working and alive. Moses, a man of the Spirit, was not threatened by the Spirit of God empowering differently than he would imagine. He graciously and excitedly shared the joy of the Spirit of God. Joshua was well-intentioned. However, he missed it. As we gather as people who come with many different languages, experiences, and stories in order to celebrate God week after week after week, we live into the same spirit that came on the day of Pentecost, the same spirit that rested on Eldad and Medad, the same spirit that rested on Moses. As we live out a life as those marked by what comes out of us, seeing evidence of the workings of the Spirit and how gracious and loving we can be, how we can make space like Moses made space. We expect, or should come to expect, the unexpected. God gives us so many languages to share the good news, but God also uniquely and the story of Pentecost shows that there's a beauty in our actual diversity. Amen? The choice wasn't for everyone in that moment to immediately all speak the same language. The miracle came in the story of the Acts Pentecost was that each person heard in their own language. That's a sign of God's grace. God gives us so many languages, but yet calls us uniquely in our own stories and embodiments, and somehow chooses to honor it in a way that we as people seem to continue to struggle to do so. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In reflection of the gift of how God speaks, we are blessed to have two of our youth read to us the Acts story. I'm going to invite to you, as the closing of this sermon, to listen closely to how they are reading and offering these words, to do what I'm going to call a modified Lectio Divina. It's a way of listening to the divine scriptures. I invite you to close your eyes if you are comfortable, or at least sit back and allow these words to wash over you, and to listen for what shimmers or shines or sparkles or stands out to you from the Word of God this day, offered by God's children and children from this congregation, Ben and Josie Harrison. Amen.